Okay. Shalom Aleichem. Before we start, just to make an honorable mention to Eitan Gold. Eitan's been with us for 5 years since we started way back in the day with a small handful of people. So Shalom Aleichem to Eitan. Tonight we're going to, Mirtz Hashem, be starting our next malacha, which is the malacha of Mochek. Mochek technically finishes off Perek Abona. It's not going to be in Perek Abona so much, but we'll call it the ending of Perek Abona, and then that's going to take us 2 weeks, which will be tonight and next week, and then after that we'll move on to the next Perek, which is Perek Haorig. So that's the agenda. So let's just start from the beginning. The Malacha of Mochek, as we know, is the counterpart to the Malacha of Kosev. Kosev is the Malacha of writing. Mochek is the Malacha of erasing. If you erase something on Shabbos, so that's going to fit under the jurisdiction of Malachas Mochek. Now, just a few more brief introductory points before we get to the main topic of Mochek. Let's just begin by rooting Mochek in the Mishkan. Where did Mochek take place in the Mishkan? So I think Rashi and the Mishnah and Ayin Gimel spells out that the Mochek in the Mishkan took place with regard to the Krushim. The Krushim were the beams that comprised the walls of the Mishkan. And it was necessary for them to label the Krushim in order to know how to reassemble the beams, how to match them up each time they would put back together the Mishkan at the new destination. And so that act of labeling the Krushim was the source for Malachas Kosev. And Rashi points out that it was possible that they would make a mistake when they would label the beams. It was necessary to erase the mistake and to rewrite the proper label. So that was the source for our next Malach, which is the Malacha of Mochek. So that is where we find Mochek in the Mishkan, erasing mistaken labels to put the proper label onto the beams. That's what Rashi tells us. Now, just one last introductory point to kick off the Malacha. If you saw the Rush from the Marmakomos, so the Rush points out that the Malacha of Mochek is not limited to erasing letters. It also applies just to erasing a splotch of ink. The Rush says, based on a Tosefta, if some ink spills on a piece of paper and you erase that ink, so that's also going to fit under Malachas Mochek. It's not limited to erasing letters. Okay, so that was all just the kickoff introduction to Mochek, where we find that in the Mishkan, Mochek is not limited to letters. Any form of erasing is potentially subject to Malachas Mochek. Now, the big issue, which is going to be the real focus of Malachas Mochek, is going to come from an observation in the Mishnah and Daf Ayin Gimel Amud Aleph. So let's move over to the Mishnah and Daf Ayin Gimel to start up the real discussion, the real sugya of Malachas Mochek. The Mishnah and Ayin Gimel Amud Aleph, we know, is the Mishnah that gives us our list of our Lamites Abbas Malachos. And if you take a careful look, you actually don't have to look so carefully. Even if you just take a more cursory look at the Mishnah, so there's something that stands out with the way the Mishnah presents a small handful of the malachos in contrast to most of the malachos on the list. And Mochek is in that small handful. So we're going to talk in terms of Malachas Mochek, but ultimately, Mirtz Hashem, when we get to Perek Haorig, so we're going to see that this observation is going to play out with other malachos as well. So the observation is as follows. When it comes to most of the malachos on the list, so the Mishnah just lists the activity as the malacha, malacha of Borer, Zore, Zoreya, one word activities, which is the presentation of the malacha in the Mishnah. But in contrast to that, when we look at the malacha of Mochek, so there's something that's unique. The Mishnah, when it presents this malacha, it presents the purpose together with the activity. It says, what's this malacha? Mochek amanas lichtov, erasing for the purpose of rewriting. So if you have something that's written and you're not happy with the way it was written, so you erase it in order to rewrite it, that's mochek amanas lichtov, erasing for the purpose of rewriting. And the big question becomes, why? Why did the Mishnah, particularly with Malachas Mochek, all of a sudden add more details to this Malacha? Why was it presented as Mochek Amanas Lechtov? What's the message from this Mishnah? What do we derive from this Mishnah from the way it's presenting this Malacha? That's the big question that's going to kick off Malachas Mochek. So this question is now going to generate what's going to turn out to be a Chakira. It's going to force us to dig into the definition of Mochek in order to answer this question. We're now going to see that there are two basic major approaches that can be taken for how to respond to this diak in the Mishnah, which are going to have major ramifications throughout the sugya of Mochek. So let's go through the two possible ways of responding to this diak in the Mishnah. One possibility that we could take for how to understand, you know, how to digest this observation in this Mishnah is to say that it's lav dafka. The Mishnah doesn't mean to imply that mochek is limited to specifically erasing for the sake of rewriting. Anytime you erase on Shabbos, that's going to fit under melechus mochek, even if you don't erase to rewrite. Why then did the Mishnah specifically present it as mochek amanas lechtov? So working with this first possibility, this first approach, we can understand it based on the Bir Lacha. The Bir Lacha points out that the av malacha of mochek, the ikar av malacha of mochek is mochek amanas lechtov. The erasing for the sake of rewriting is the ikar av malacha of mochek, says the Bir Lacha. And we can understand that very well now. We pointed out where was mochek in the Mishkan. Mochek in the Mishkan was by the Krushim when they erased the mistaken labels to rewrite the proper label. So in the Mishkan, it was mochek amanas lechtov. They erased for the sake of rewriting. So the Bir Lacha is saying that that's going to characterize the malacha of mochek. Mochek, the av malacha of mochek is going to be erasing for the sake of rewriting. And that can now explain why the Mishnah presented it in that manner. Why did the Mishnah present mochek as mochek amanas lechtov? Because the Mishnah is giving us the list of the 39 avos malachos. Well, when it comes to borer, there's no more details. The malacha is borer. The av malacha of borer is borer. The av malacha of zoreya is zoreya. By mochek, what's the av malacha? Mochek amanas lechtov, erasing for the sake of rewriting. The purpose goes into the av malacha. That's why it was presented in this manner. But that doesn't mean to imply that other forms of erasing are not subject to malachas mochek. Other forms of erasing very well will be subject to malachas mochek. They're just not going to be the av malacha. So that is all one possibility that can be taken for how to deal with this issue, that the diak in the Mishnah is lav dafka. Anything, any type of erasing is subject to mochek. Just the av malacha is mochek amanas lechtov. Fine. So that's possibility number one. Aryeh.
Yeah, this is somewhat of a tangential question, but why is a malacha that wasn't inherent to the building of the Mishkan considered a malacha? Like, what if they didn't make a mistake? They would have never had to do mochek.
Yeah, so Aryeh is asking an interesting question. Aryeh is asking, why is a malacha that's not inherent to the building of the Mishkan, characterizing the Lam Tes Avos Malachos? What if they didn't make a mistake? You know, you see all these miraculous details that went into the construction of the Mishkan. They fulfilled all the words of Moshe Rabbeinu. There were no mistake, so Aryeh is just asking, it's funny that a potential mistake that they may have made is going into the construction of the Mishkan. So I'm just going to make a very quick response, but the question is better than the answer, meaning I don't have enough time to go into the answer, but just a ha'ara that needs to be considered is that it's possible that all the malachos that are the Lam Tes Avos Malachos didn't necessarily literally take place in the Mishkan. It's possible that they are the malachos that are conceivably necessary for the building of the Mishkan in a regular man-built edifice. A man would have to do these certain nine malachos. It could be that in the Mishkan itself, though, they weren't all necessary. Just to give one example, with the malach of Zoreya. Zoreya was planting. So they were in a midbar. Do you think that there was vegetation in the midbar? Was there, were there streams of water and vegetation? So you could say that there was a miracle. But if you don't want to submit there was a miracle, it could just be that these are the malachos that in principle would have needed to take in place in order to build a Mishkan. In Echanami, they themselves had their own avenues of how to do it. So I'm giving a quick, brief response to a good question. But it's not a full answer, but it's a little bit of an answer. Daniel.
Hey, just so I understand, you're saying that the description of Almanas Lichtov is somehow inherent to Mechika, right, or Mochik. Mm-hmm. Would that be, there are other Malachas, though, that are described in the Mishnah as Almanas.
So right, right. So Daniel's pointing out that there are other Malachas in the Mishnah that are described as Almanas. So that's why I pointed out that there's a small handful of Malachas that are going to have this observation. This Mochik's the first one we're encountering. So we're talking in terms of Malachas Mochik, but our next malacha is going to be Korea. It's going to be the same diak and very similar analysis, 100%. So,
but the problem would be that could you have this kind of destructive or negative action that couldn't be almanas, right? Like it would seem based on Malachas Shabbos that would have to be part of the description, right?
Okay, so Daniel is asking if the fact Daniel's asking a very good question in Meretz Hashem when we get to Korea. So there's going to be a Kiel Sakov that's going to get into your issue, Meretz Hashem. So in 3 weeks, Meretz Hashem, we're going to get to Korea. We're going to address Daniel's point. He's getting into a fundamental analysis of when we need the Almanasim, and is there some commonality between Mochik and Korea? Are they destructive malachos? So that's going to, Meretz Hashem, when we get to Korea, there's going to be we're going to have to address that issue. But for now, in Mohek, we're going to be a little less sophisticated. Okay, fine. Possibility number two, our second, it's like old time Eitan, except for like the Zoom and not Zoom, stuff like that, you know? Fine, okay, possibility number two. Our second possibility is to explain that really, sorry, let me confuse you. Our second possibility is to say that maybe there is going to be a deeper significance to the Mishnah's presentation, and there's going to be a fundamental requirement for Mohik to be done Amanas Lichtov. The Mishnah perhaps didn't just tell us that Mohik is Amanas Lichtov because that's the Av Malacha. Yes, that is the Av Malacha perhaps, but maybe there's a deeper significance to the Mishnah's presentation of Mohik as being Amanas Lichtov. Maybe there's going to be a rigid requirement that erasing has to always be done for the sake of rewriting in order to violate the Malacha of Mohik. So that is a second possibility that would obviously explain very well why the Mishnah presented the Malacha in this manner, because that's going to define and characterize the Malacha. All forms of the Malacha, the Av and the Tolda, need to be Amanas Lichtov. So taking a step back now, we're having two basic possibilities how to respond to the Diak in the Mishnah. Why did the Mishnah say Mohik Amanas Lichtov? Possibility number one, it's in a certain sense Lav Dafka, the Av Malacha is Amanas Lichtov, but the Tolda does not have to be Amanas Lichtov. Any form of erasing is subject to Malachas Mohik, at least as a Tolda. The second possibility is to say that maybe there is a rigid requirement. It always has to be done Amanas Lichtov to be chayv. So those are the two possibilities. Fine. So now we're going to show the Achronim are Medayik, that the different Rishonim line up with different Stadim in this Chakira. So we're now going to go through the Rambam and Rashi and show how the Achronim are Medayik, that the Rambam and Rashi line up with these two possibilities in Malachas Mohik. So let's start with the Shitas HaRambam. The Minchas Chinuch under Malachas Mohik makes two diukim to argue that the Rambam is working with the first tzad in this Chakira. So we'll just go through the two diukim of the Minchas Chinuch to argue that the Rambam is going with possibility number one, that any form of Mechika is subject to Malachas Mohik. The first diuk of the Minchas Chinuch is from the Rambam in Perek Yid Aleph Halacha Tes. The Rambam in Shabbos Yid Aleph Tes, he gives us his basic presentation of Kosev and Mohik. And after he gives us the basic starting Malachos of Kosev and Mohik, he goes through all the details and the parameters of these Malachos for the ensuing Halachos. And he throws in one Halacha, which the Minchas Chinuch found very telling. The Rambam makes the following statement. He says that HaMohik Amanas LeKalkel is Pater, that erasing for the sake of causing damage is going to be Pater. If something is written on a surface and you erase, in erasing that writing on the surface, you're going to damage the surface. And maybe that's why you did it on purpose. You want to damage the surface. So that's mohek amas the kalkel. You're erasing to cause damage. Says the Rambam, that's going to be pater. Comes along the Minchas Chinuch and makes the diak that the Rambam's mashma, that when does malachas mohek become pater? Only when it's mohek amas the kalkel, when you're erasing for the sake of causing damage, implying that anytime you erase for productive purposes, anytime you do a mechika that's not to cause damage, that's productive, is going to be chayiv. So the mashmos is that anytime you erase for productive purposes, whether it's for the sake of rewriting, whether it's for some other purpose, there could be many reasons why you erase something that's not causing damage, that's not to rewrite, that could be very productive. So the Minchas Chinuch Medayik from here, that the Rambam's working with the first possibility in this chakira. So that is diak number one of the Minchas Chinuch. Good so far?
Do we find any precedent for categories on Shabbos that are not Mekalkel or productive? Like, you're creating some sort of middle ground that...
Daniel is asking, do we have a precedent to this idea that it's not Mekalkel and it's going to be productive? That's your question, Daniel?
Because just the way you made it sound is there's some sort of third category, which is not so that I can continue to write further. It's going to be productive in some other manner.
I mean to say, like, let's say there's a Starchov, you know, someone says that you owe him $100,000 and you erase that on Shabbos. You don't plan on rewriting that. You want these Starchov to be destroyed.
Exactly. But the language is Almanas Lichto, right? So I'm just curious if there's any other precedent of some sort of third category of things where it's not productive in the manner relevant to the malacha, which is its opposite.
So the truth of the matter is, Daniel's asking, do we have a precedent for these different categories that we're developing about almanas, not almanas? So the truth is that we're now hitting this section of malachos where these categories are going to play out. We're doing mochek for 2 weeks, then we're going to hit malachos korea, And as we go through these malachos, we're going to see, we're setting the precedent now, and as we continue on, it's going to continue on. Makes sense?
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Good. Okay. Fine. Just making sure. Okay. So the that's diak number one. Diak number two in the Rambam is in Perek Yidal of Halacha Yid Zayin. So there, the Rambam is discussing the tolda of Malachas Mochik. The tolda of Mochik is, says the Rambam, one of the toldas of Mochik is where you erase pictures. The Av Malacha is where you erase letters. The tolda is where you erase pictures. Someone makes some graffiti on the wall, and we're not so happy, you erase that graffiti. So that would be a tolda of Malachas Mochik. Now, when the Rambam describes the tolda of Mochik in Halacha Yid Zayin, so again, the Rambam almost explicitly says the first side. In our Chakira here, the Rambam just says, Hamochik Roshem, Almanas Lasakein is Chayiv. If you erase Rishimas, if you erase drawings, Almanas Lasakein for productive purposes, to make a tikkun for constructive purposes, you're Chayiv. The Rambam doesn't say you have to be Mochik Almanas Lichtov to rewrite the picture, to redo the drawing. He just says, Almanas Lasakein. Sounds like anytime you erase a picture for productive purposes, that's going to be a chayiv. So those are the two diukim of the Minchas Chinuch, putting the Rambam into the first side in our Chakira. Fine. Okay, we're good? Okay. Moving over to the second shita now, which is the shita of Rashi. So Rashi is on Ein Hei Amud Beis, and the Chazan Yechezkel, or Chazkel Bramsky, he's medayik that Rashi is working with the second side in our Chakira. So let's spell out the diuk in Rashi now. The Gemara on Ein Hei Amud Beis, Rashi is commenting on that Gemara. The Gemara there brings a Tosefta, which is discussing the shear for Malachas Mochek. What is the minimum amount that you need to erase to violate Malachas Mochek? Says the Tosefta, it's the space that occupies two letters. You need to clear up the amount of space that's fit for the writing of two letters. You don't literally have to erase two letters. It could be one letter. It could be a big letter. But it has to be the amount of space that is such that it's fit for the writing of two regular sized letters. That's the shear from Lechas Mochet. And Rashi's bothered, Rashi's coming to explain, where did that shear come from? How did Chazal figure out that that's the amount of space you need to erase to violate Lechas Mochet, the amount that is fit for the writing of two letters? So Rashi makes the following statement. Rashi says that the reason that this is the shear for Mochet is because the whole chashivas of Mochet is when it's done almanas lichtov. The only significance of mochek is when you do it to rewrite. And we know that when it comes to malachas kosev, by writing, what's the shear for malachas kosev? How much do you have to write to violate malachas kosev? Two letters. Two letters is the minimum shear for kosev. Well, if mochek has to be done for the sake of writing, and writing it needs two letters, then mochek needs to clear up the space of two letters. And so therefore, says Rashi, that's the shear for malachas mochek, the space that occupies two letters. So Rashi seems to be spelling out explicitly the second side now in our Chakir. Rashi says the only significance of Mochik is for the sake of rewriting, and that's how we came up with the shear of two letters. According to the first side in the Chakir, according to the Shita's Rambam, that's just not correct. You can't say that the only significance of erasing is to rewrite. You don't have to erase to rewrite. You could erase for 10 other reasons and still be Chayiv. It would not be correct to say that the only Chashivas of Mochik is when you're rewriting. So Rashi seems to just be saying explicitly the second side in this machlokes, and so that's the diag of the Chazin Chezkel to the Shita of Rashi. So taking a step back now, we're developing a basic machlokes Rishonim that's getting to the basic definition of Malachas Mochek. We start out with our observation, why the Mishnah presented as Mochek Amanas Lichtov, two basic approaches. Shita Sarambam now, we're saying, based on two diukim, is that it's Lav Dafka Amanas Lichtov, the Av is for the sake of rewriting, you have to erase to rewrite, but for the tolda, any form of erasing for productive purposes fits under Malachas Mochek. Whereas according to the Shita of Rashi, so Rashi is saying that there's a rigid requirement, it has to be Almanas Lichtov Davka. Eitan.
Why is Rashi just saying that
then? Okay, so Eitan's asking, what is this really such a good diak in Rashi? Maybe Rashi is just telling us the shear for the Av Malacha of Mochik. The Av Malacha, everyone agrees, is Mochik Almanas Lichtov. So maybe Rashi is just telling us the shear for the Av Malacha. So I'm going to give an answer to Eitan's question, but if you look at the Bir Halacha in Siman Shin Mem at the end, so my answer is not going to be a perfect answer, but it's somewhat correct. The answer off the cuff, the answer is going to be that Pashtus is the Shear of Malachas Mochek applies to the Av and the Tolda. Pashtus, the Av, and the Tolda are all going to have the same Shear. So if Rashi is telling me that the reason you have to clear up this amount of space is for the whole Malach of Mochek, the Av and the Tolda, then everything Rashi is saying has to apply to the Tolda as well. So if you accept what I'm telling you, and again, the Be'er Halacha discusses this issue in depth, if the Av and the Tolda have the same shear, but he leaves out with the Tzarechin and Pashtas, they would have the same shear, so then this would be a valid diak in Rashi. If you want to question this point, based on that Be'er Halacha, so then Eitan would have an argument with the Chazon Yechezkel. I mean, okay, so Eitan's responding and saying, even if you want to tell me that the Tolda is different, but maybe we can define the shear for the Tolda based on the Av. It's true. The Tolda is one thing, the Av is something else, but maybe we define the shear for the whole Malacha based on the Av. So that would be a Shtukot Torah. It would be a very big Shtukot Torah, which we would say, b'shas, you know, for pushed into a corner. But simple understanding would be that the shear should be logical by the Av and the Tolda. So you have a steer in a Rambam, we'll say something like that, but not off the cuff. Fine. Okay, so now let's just go a little bit deeper and discuss, what's the Hesber in this Machlokas? On a conceptual level, what's the conceptual basis for the Shita of Rashi and the Shita of the Rambam? So Rav Parnas once pointed out that this issue is just a little bit of more Hesber, is going to get into how to define the productive quality of Melechas Mochei. We know that the Yesod of the Isra Melechas is about productivity. We always try to pin down what's the productive quality of the Melechos. So now that we encounter Melechas Mochei, we have to ask ourselves, what's the Yesod HaMelech, what's the productive quality of Melechas Mochei? So Parnas pointed out that that's going to be the issue between the Rambam versus Rashi. Starting with the Shita of the Rambam, so the Rambam's going to hold that the Rambam, according to the Menachas Chinuch, holds that any form of raising is subject to Melechas Mochek. So the Rambam is going to hold that the productive quality of Mochek is erasing. That erasing per se is considered productive. As long as you erase for any productive purpose, you erase graffiti off the wall, you're not planning on rewriting it, that's productive. So according to the Rambam, erasing per se was deemed significant as a Melech. That's going to be the Shita of the Rambam. What's the Shita of Rashi? According to Rashi, that there's a rigid requirement. You always have to erase to rewrite. So what's the productive quality according to Rashi? Anyone want to just finish this off? What Shita is Rashi in terms of the Yisod HaMelechus Mochek fundamentally? Yeah. Right. So just to rephrase what Yona just said, in other words, Rashi is going to hold that the Yisod HaMelechus Mochek is not erasing per se. That for whatever reason, the Torah wasn't machshiv erasing as significant in terms of the melachas of Shabbos. The Yesod HaMelechus Mochek is going to be what's called a Hechsher L'Ksiva. It's about preparing a surface for writing. The Yesod HaMelechus Mochek is to prepare a surface for writing. That's going to be the Shita of Rashi. So that's just the basic Hesber in this Machlokas. Is Mochek about erasing? Is that what's considered significant about Mochika? Or is it about preparing a surface for writing, what's called the Hechsher L'Ksiva? Ultimately, we're going to see major ramifications in this Hesber. Fine. So that's all just the basic part one of Melechas Mochek. After our introduction to this Melacha, so we developed our basic Machlokas Rambam versus Rashi, and we just give a little bit of a Hesber in that Machlokas. Now, what we're going to do for the remainder of tonight's Shir and the rest of next week's Shir is we're going to go through Nafkamina's applications of this Machlokas. Tonight, we'll go through the more academic Nafkamina's, and in the Meretz Hashem next week, we'll get to the practical applications in the poskim for this Chakira. So tonight we're just going to do two nafkaminas, and then we'll next week we'll get some more of the fun stuff. Any questions? We're good? So, I guess we're good though. Yeah, fine. Okay, fine. Afterwards, you'll beat me up after. Okay, fine. Yeah. Okay, so nafkamina number one is going to bring us back to a discussion from last week. Last week we did a transitional topic between Melechas Kosev and Melechas Mochek. It technically fit under the scheme of Melechas Kosev, but I had alluded to the fact that it's going to have ramifications to Melechas Mochek. So now we're going to see how that's going to play out right now. So let's just quickly recap on the detail that we need from last week to set up tonight's first Nafkamina. Last week, we brought up the issue of writing on Shabbos in a manner of Choktochos. Choktochos is where you create letters, not by operating on the letter itself, rather where you operate around the letter and cause the appearance of a letter in relief. What's a classic example of Choktochos? So we saw last week, the classic example is with engraving. The case came up in the Gemara in Gittin. The case was where you have, let's say, a blank piece of metal and you engrave letters on that piece of metal, but you don't do it by pressing down on the letters themselves. What you do is you press around the letters. You press around where you want the letters to appear, inside and outside, such that after you're done engraving, so you have a depressed background, and it appears like you have protruding letters in relief. You didn't actually operate on the letters to cause them to protrude. You just pushed outside and inside. The background is now depressed. The letters now appearing as if they're protruding. That's called writing through chak tochos. Chak means to engrave, tochos. You're engraving inside, not the letter itself, inside and around the letter. And the question that came up last week was whether chak tochos is chayiv on Shabbos. If you write on Shabbos in a manner of chak tochos, is that going to be chayiv? So if you paid careful attention to our discussion last week, you will have seen that there was a machlokas rishonim on this issue between the Rashba versus the Ran and the Ritva. Starting with the shita of the Rashba, the Rashba shita, if you paid careful attention, I didn't spell this out last week, we ran out of time, but spell it out right now. The Rashba shita last week was that genuine chak tochos is pater on Shabbos. If you find a case of genuine chak tochos, as I just described, that's going to be pater on Shabbos. That is the shita of the Rashba. This engraving maneuver would be pater on Shabbos. Whereas the Ran and the Ritva argued on the Rashba, the Ran and the Ritva hold that chak tochos is chayiv on Shabbos. If you create letters, not by operating on the letter itself, but operating around the letter to cause the appearance of a letter in relief, that is going to be chayiv on Shabbos. They developed it based on the principle of Melechas Machsheves. Melechas Machsheves teaches us that we're not going to be format oriented. We're not going to care so much about the format of how you made the writing. We care more about the product. We're product oriented. As long as you produced a productive product, so that's going to be a problem. And so, although when you do chak tochos, the actual process itself of writing is not so desirable, but at the end of the day, the end product is still very productive. And therefore, the Ran and the Ritva argued that based on Melechas Machsheves, this should be chayiv on Shabbos. So that was the big time machlokes we had last week, as if writing through chak tochos is chayiv on Shabbos or not. And last week, we left it off as a really a conclusion to Melechas Kosev. And now we're going to see how it's going to impact on Melechas Mochek. The Ran wants to bring a raya against the shita of the Rashba. The Rashba held that chak tochos is pater on Shabbos. And the Ran wants to prove the Rashba as being incorrect from the Melacha of Mochek. So let's discuss the Ran's raya, and then we'll assess the validity of the Ran's raya. So the Ran's raya is as follows. He says that I'm going to disprove the shita of Rashba from the institution of Mochek as a Melacha. Because, says the Ran, we know that Mochek is, what's the Melacha of Mochek? Mochek amanas lechtov, that the Melacha of Mochek is erasing for the sake of rewriting. So the Ran gives the following argument. He says that if we have a whole Melacha that's dedicated to erasing for the sake of rewriting, where what's the whole significance of this activity? Why am I chayev when I erase to rewrite, says the Ran? I'm chayev because I'm going to write down the road. The significance of this act is not the erasing. The significance of this act is that I'm going to write down the road. And the Torah established that as the Melacha, Mochek Amanas Lichtov. So says the Ran, then we can make the following Kal V'chomer. If this activity of erasing is chayiv on Shabbos, despite the fact that in and for itself, it's not significant, it's only significant because it's setting you up for writing down the road, then Kal V'chomer, any act of writing in and for itself should be chayiv. Any act of writing is certainly much more significant. It's actual writing. It's much more significant than just setting up writing, the precursor to writing of Mochek. So Kal V'chomer says, the Ran, chak tochos should certainly be chayiv. It's true that when you do chak tochos, it's not the best way of writing. It's not the most productive way of writing. You're doing it more in a more indirect manner. But at the end of the day, when you do chak tochos, you're writing itself. That's writing itself. So Kal V'chomer says, the Ran, if we have a whole malacha that was instituted called Melechas Mochek, and why is it chayiv, says the Ran? Because it's setting you up for ksiva down the road. Then Kal V'chomer, when you do any act of writing, that should certainly be chayiv, even when you write in a manner of chak tochos. So that is the Ran's big raya against the shita of the Rashba. And he, based on this, he concludes that the Rashba is not a compelling shita, and chak tochos may very well be chayiv on Shabbos based on this Kal V'chomer. So the question is going to become how to defend the Rashba against this raya of the Ran, and what's the hesber as if this is a good raya or not. So just to take a question from Zoom, Mayor Yadakasha.
Yeah, but erasing leads to actual writing. Chok tochos isn't actual writing.
The mayor is asking that erasing leads to actual writing. Chok tochos is not actual writing. So the I'm going to respond to you on an intuitive level as we get to the Hezbollah and the Machlokas. Hopefully we'll get a deeper understanding as to if the Raya is compelling or not. But on a basic level, what the Raya is saying, now listen, erasing is much more indirect than actual writing. It's true, it leads to actual writing, but it's a very indirect activity. All I'm doing is erasing. Why am I chayiv? Because it's going to set me up to write. So the Ran's logic is, listen, if just setting you up to write, you're not even writing, it's just a preliminary act, is chayiv, isn't it much more significant when you do an indirect form of writing? Isn't that a more profound activity? So that's the argument of the Ran. Mary's trying to argue, but listen, erasing is at least setting you up for a good form of writing. So who says that a bad form of writing is also chayiv? But the Ran's argument is that at the end of the day, even if erasing sets you up for a good form of writing, well, it's still just erasing. All you're doing is clearing the page and you're chayiv because it's going to let you write. Isn't that much less productive than actual writing itself, albeit a little bit more indirect? So that's the argument of the Ran. Yona, you had a question? Yona had the same question. Doesn't sit well with him. Okay, so let me try and explain the.
So shouldn't it be that if your spaghetti comes out in the shape of an S, that's more like writing than indirect erasing for writing? But it's not. At the end of the day, it's not writing. It may look like writing, but if you're not defining it as writing, then you can't. No, it's not more direct because it's not. It's a different thing.
Okay, Meir, I think we really bothered Yona here. He doesn't like my answer, and he brought up spaghetti somehow. okay, dope.
How we go about the idea of writing is the idea
Okay, so dove. Okay, so Dov is getting.
According to the Ran, they can't have an issue with the Rashba if his whole premise is that it's not writing.
Okay, so Dov is giving a very good analysis of this issue, but it's based on a discussion from last week. And the rule of thumb is we can't expect anyone to remember anything from last week. So we're going to have to hack that out over zingers. But it's a very nice analysis, but we're going to do a more internal analysis just based on this week's discussion. It's very good. Very good. Okay, so. So Rav Parnas once, last time we learned Maseches Gittin, actually brought this issue up, and he gave a Hezbra in this Machlokes, and Dotan found that Rav Ruven Gruzovsky also gives the same analysis of this issue in the Chiddushei of Ruven. Rav Parnas pointed out, and I just to make a disclaimer, it's a very, as if you guys are bothered before the Hezbra, you're going to get bothered afterwards also, but we only have a few minutes left tomorrow anyways, so I'll probably, run out of time. Just to say the analysis over, it's a very deep analysis. It makes a lot of sense if you think it through, but it has to be thought over. So we'll do a little bit. He said like this, Reuven and Reparnas both pointed out, it's going to come down to this Chakir. This Machlokas Rashi and Rambam is going to be the Hezbollah, this Machlokas Ran versus Rashba. So we have a Machlokas in our Sugya as to what's the fundamentally Yisod of Melechas Mochek. The Rambam Shita is that Mochek is Mochek. Mochek is just erasing was deemed productive, and any act of erasing for productive purposes is Chayiv. Whereas according to Rashi, the Yisod of Mochek is not Mochek. The Yisod of Mochek is to serve as a Hechsher Lexiva. It's really just about preparing a surface for writing. Now, can anyone see why this Chakira would help be Masber the Ran's Raya against the Rashba? Why there would be a good Raya or a bad Raya depending on this Chakira? What are you saying? According to who? And therefore, why? How's that play into our Chakira tonight? Yeah. You're right. Let me just finish it off. Okay, he said about saying it. Okay, so it goes like this. Let's start with the second side in the Chakira. The second side in the Chakira was to say, Shita's Rashi. Rashi's Shita was that Mochik always has to be done for the sake of writing to be Chayv. You always need Mochik Amanas Lechtol. What's the Hezber behind Shitas Rashi? Where is he coming from on a conceptual level? Why would you always have to plan to rewrite to be chayav for Melechas Mochek? So we explained that Rashi Shita is that Mochek wasn't deemed significant in for itself. Erasing was not deemed as a significant act in terms of Hilchos Melechas Shabbos. The Yisod of Mochek is preparing a surface for writing. That's the Yisod HaMelacha. If you define Mochek as preparing a surface for writing, so the Ran has a very strong argument. If you think it through, The Ran's argument is very compelling. So let's just talk it through now together. If we work with Shitas Rashi, that mochik is about preparing a surface for writing. So then the Ran is arguing as follows. If a whole entire malacha was devoted and set up just to prepare a surface for writing, just clearing the surface to allow for you to write was deemed an entire malacha in Shabbos. So there's a pretty strong call for Homer to argue that any act of writing itself should certainly also be a malacha. If you write, even through chaktochos, lamaisa, that's actual writing itself. Certainly writing through chaktochos is more productive than just doing a preliminary act of clearing the surface to write on the surface. So if you go with the shita of Rashi, the Ran has a very strong kal v'chomer. The whole yisod of mochik is just to prepare the surface for writing. An entire malacha is devoted to preparing the surface for writing. That is a very strong argument to say that writing itself, any act of actual writing, is certainly much more significant than mochik. So that would be the hezer behind the shita of Ran. If we assume like the shita of Rashi, which the Reuven spells this out, that the Ran is assuming you need mochik amenas lechtov, so then his argument is a very strong argument. Let's move over now to the shita of the Rambam. Going back to our first approach, the shita of Rambam. The Rambam shita was, what's the yisod of malachas mochik on a conceptual level? What's the chashivas of the malacha? Erasing. Erasing was deemed significant. If you erase a shtar chov, someone says you owe him $1 million and you erase it, you do not plan on rewriting that. That's a very productive activity. That's going to be chayiv according to the Rambam. Any act of erasing is chayiv. Well, if the malacha is just about erasing, it's not about preparing you to write. You don't have to plan on writing afterwards. So then mochik is going to turn out to be independent from malachas kosev. They're two unrelated malachas. One is about erasing, even if you're not planning on writing. It's not about preparing for writing. It's its own malacha called erasing. There's another malacha out there called writing. The two malachas are not connected. If you say like this, so then everything that Meir and Yonah were arguing is now going to become meaningful, even the spaghetti point. But if mochik is independent of the malacha of kosev, so now we can start saying that, okay, so mochik is chayiv when you erase for whatever purpose you have, and kosev is a second malacha, and maybe kosev has its own regulations. Maybe when it comes to writing, so you have to write in a direct manner. If you write in an indirect manner of chaktokos, that's just not called writing. There's nothing in mochik that implies to us what the rules for writing should be. Mochik is just erasing for whatever purpose, and writing is a separate malacha, so maybe writing has its own regulations. If you work with the sheets of the Rambam, so all those intuitive problems you had come to the forefront as there's no reason why mochik should tell me anything about writing. It's specifically in the shita of Rashi where Reuven or Parnas are pointing out that there's a very, you know, reasonable argument that if the whole malacha was instituted just to set you up for writing, and that's much more preliminary, kal v'chomer writing itself should be chayiv. So that was the analysis. Let's see if the chevra is happy with us. Dov. Oh. Okay, fine. Every week when I prepare a chaburah, I know the weak point in the chaburah, and like people's heads, you know, pop to mind, but I think who's going to catch me on it? And, you know, Fried, whatever, Eitan, Dov. As I was preparing, I stopped for a split second. I knew that I'm going to get caught on this point. And I thought I got by you because you brought this up at the end of the chaburah, but I'll mention it and we're going to run out of time. Yeah. Okay, Dov is asking the following question. He caught me. So let me just sum up and then I'll point out Dov's question. I'm very happy that you caught me on that. So let's just summarize, then we'll end for tonight. I'll spell Dov's kasha. Just to sum up, we kicked off Malachas Mochik. Tonight, we set down the fundamental theory of the Malacha. And then in Mirtz Hashem next week, we're going to get to the poskim and the practical applications that come up in the poskim. We kicked off by pointing out Mochik in the Mishkan is erasing the beams, erasing the, you know, letters that were miswritten, you know, inappropriately written on the beams. That was the Av Malacha of Mochik in the Mishkan. And we had our basic observation in the Mishnah. Why is it mochik hamnas lichtov? Two approaches. Rambam's approach is any form of erasing is going to be chayiv. Lav dafka hamnas lichtov. Whereas according to Rashi, Rashi shita is that it's dafka hamnas lichtov. Those are the two approaches, Rambam and Rashi. We give a little bit more of a hesper. What's the yisod of malacha? Is it about just erasing per se? Or is it preparing a surface for writing? That was the chakir. That was a real fundamental hesper. And our nafkamina, our first nafkamina to kick off the sugya. Next week we're gonna have a lot of applications in nafkaminas, but our first nafkamina to kick off the sugya was the machlokas Rashban Ran versus Chaktochos. Ran made this argument that if malachas mochik makes sense, it was a whole malach was established to erase for the sake of rewriting, then kal v'chomer writing in an indirect manner is going to be chayiv. That was Ron's argument, and we're trying to figure out if it's compelling or not. Rav Parnas and Reuven point out it depends on this Chakira. If it's about preparing a service for writing, then it is a very good argument that if this whole malach is established to a heksher l'ksiva just to prepare, then kavah chomer writing itself should be chayiv. Whereas according to the Rambam, if they're two independent malachos, one's erasing, one's writing. So where in erasing do you see the regulations for writing? Writing, there's no reason why writing can't have its own regulations. So that was just a synopsis of tonight's shiur. Now I'm just going to spell out Dov's question before we run out of time. When we spelled out the Diak and Rashi, what was the Diak and Rashi that Rashi holds like the second side in the Chakira? That the Gemara had said, what's the shiur from Malachas Mochik? The shiur from Malachas Mochik is erasing the space that takes up two letters, the space that's fit for the writing of two letters. And Rashi was coming to explain, where does that shiur come from? So Rashi gave a very beautiful explanation that the reason you need to clear up a space for two letters is because you need to write two letters. The mochik is mochik amanas lechtov. The whole purpose of the malacha is to set you up for writing. Since writing always needs two letters, that's the shir for kosev, well then mochik has to clear up a space of two letters. That's what we said in Rashi. So Dov is asking a very, very powerful question, which is, so how is the Rambam going to explain the shir for malachas mochik? If we're saying in the Rambam that mochek is not connected to malachas kosev, and you don't even have to erase for the sake of writing, so then why is the shir of mochek erasing a space that's fit for two letters? Just joking. So I'm going to tell you what has to be the answer. It's people are not going to be satisfied by it, but Rav Parnas, he always used to put the Chassam Sofer. Chassam Sofer, he would say over, says, kol hadoch gim emes, that whenever you say something mipi hadochek, you're forced to say something, you know that it's MS. You know, say something beautiful and fancy, and like there's nothing forcing you to say it. So, like, maybe yes, maybe no. When you're forced to say something, so then even if you don't feel good saying it, but you know it's MS because there's nothing else to say. So, al korchach, you simply have to say that Chazal were Mishayer. Chazal just gauged this as being a significant amount. It's ironic that Kosev has two letters, Mochik is erasing the space for two letters, but they're not connected. It's just Chazal assessed that this is a meaningful amount of space. And just take it or leave it. You know, that's what you have to say. But the question is better than the answer.
Because we are dealing with letters, we're still dealing with letters. So just like by kosev, two letters is significant. So too by erasing, even though it's not.
Because Yonah is asking if we could answer it, in the following manner, that it's not that mochik is connected to kosev fundamentally. But just we can kind of make a certain comparison that just like by kosev, the malacha of writing, we deemed writing two letters significant. So we're going to deem clearing up a space of two letters significant. It could be you could say such a thing, but keep in mind that mochik is not limited to writing. You could be erasing a shtarchov. I could be erasing, you know, the words that Yonah is $5 million, and you know you have to clear up the space of two letters, even though just erasing one letter could be enough from million to billion. You know, like erasing one letter can change the shtarchov, you know, drastically. So the question becomes, if it's not for writing, why should a dafka be the space of two letters? So the question is a very good question. I'm glad that you caught me on that. Everyone have a wonderful Shabbos. Okay. Thank you very much. Okay. Have a wonderful Shabbos.
Thank you. Have a good Shabbos.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Josh, it's great to see you. Fun. Thank you.